Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Notice how he didn't say clap.
I know. Go smoother with him.
Unbelievable, Kate. Unbelievable.
That was great.
It feels good to be back in the saddle for this Friday edition of Zero Block 30. I've been off for about a week now, just doing some staycation stuff. Hadn't took vacation, but I've been doing all kinds of stuff around my house. I feel like I've kind of gotten into shape. Like, I feel like I'm in shape right now. I did two truckloads full of dirt, shoveling them out in and out of my truck, taking them to the backyard, undoing it, put them in a garden and doing all those nice things. Wasn't sore the next day. I didn't even lose my breath at all. What's going on? I feel like I'm back in shape and it feels good to be back on the show too.
Who would have thought manual labor would get you into some sort of shape?
I know.
Maybe the military's onto something.
Maybe so. I felt like a little boot out there, and if I fucked up, somebody was going to come scream at me to put all that dirt in my fucking cargo pocket, which I would wear even if made cons mad. Today we are going to have 5 rounds in the magazine. They're all going to be delicious. And round one is sure to give you all the tingles as we low crawl into the world of military ASMR. Oh, the possibilities. Kate has a game that is sure to leave us all in goosebumps. Ooh. Did that make you want to throw up, Kate?
Yes!
You did this, Kate. You did this.
I did this to myself.
You did. I don't know why you did. Round number two. Most military branches are new boot goofing, but over at Edwards Air Force Base, they're new scoot goofing on electric scooters. Would you be seen in uniform rolling around over to the PX on one? Round number three.
I already John know Stewart. How you feel about that. As I was yes. putting the photo of the soldier of the airman on scooters, I was like, Chaps is going to hate this so much.
I was like, when I saw it last night, I was like, these motherfuckers. I wish a bitch would ride by on a scooter and I would see. Oh my God. All right. Round number three. John Stewart used to make us laugh on The Daily Show, and now he's making us cheer as he stands up for veterans dealing with the fallout from deployment burn pits. He's calling out the DOD for some real hot garbage. John Stewart might be the voice of reason for like the military and veterans and first responders crowd out there. Who would have ever thought that, right?
I know.
It's crazy. Like the stuff that he does for the 9/11 first responders and now dipping his toe in with the veterans. John Stewart,
good
you
guy.
Can be a reality TV show guy and be president. Maybe you think about it, John. Just saying. Round number four. Apparently, the Russian military had a quick break from trolling us with their planes and vehicles and decided to get in real into anatomy. Most recently, they stormed a theater to stop a screening of the documentary. What was that called? Vulva 3.0. For research purposes, I'm sure. Round number five, when a Coast Guard crew got sidelined by coronavirus, the mission was able to keep rolling along thanks to young cadets at the academy who went on to have a summer of lifetime on the high seas. Have we really found a way of being a good case of being voluntold? The Coast Guard, if you get a good Coast Guard mission where they are like, you're going to go do this type of thing, just being stationed in Rhode Island would be amazing.
Right.
Have you ever seen that little Coast Guard spot in Rhode Island?
Yeah. Oh,
they're all like little dream boats. They're all
it's,
just fabulous
I know. It doesn't even feel like
it's
the military.
It's delightful. And I saw this many times before in my life, and maybe I just never clicked. There's a little Coast Guard station down the Jersey Shore, right by where my parents live. I had given thought. Yeah, there's just tons. There's just all these great places. And
cute
there's these
buttons.
Tiny little Coast Guard stations. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Cute as a little button, just like your pubes would be if you went with our friends at manscaped.com. There's been many a times where I've been in the shower and trimmed the old ball bag a little bit too much where we're going to have my pins just hanging out all over the place for a little bowling analogy. You don't have to do that with Manscaped. You can go out and you can trim down all the way to the skin because they have these new proprietary blades on their stuff that makes it amazing for your ball bag or your vagina, whatever you want to shave, or your armpits, whatever. It'll shave anything you got. It's waterproof. It has an LED light and is made with advanced skin safe technology, which reduces nicks and cuts on your delicates. I don't think some of us, though, are all that delicate. I've seen some ball bags in my day that look like straight-up catcher's mitts.
Absolutely.
Like they are just thick and rubbery, and you need to put some palm oil on them bad boys.
You can really tug them.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. No feeling left in them. Look like a kangaroo just flipped it out inside out just to get it all clean.
Right.
The Manscaped Boxer Briefs have the optimum tip control with their crop cooling technology while keeping your pride and joy supported. The waistband is also super elastic to reduce chafing and rubbing. Plus, when your girl sees this logo, she knows she's got a real Manscaped man, my friends. Pair these Boxer Briefs with your pH balancing liquid products like the Crop Preserver, and you're ready for anything, including some 69. Which, if you're going to be doing some 69, you better make sure the little dangly cherries that you got aren't stinky and rotten.
Absolutely.
Right?
PSA.
Thank you. When you're right, you're right.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't want any rotten cherry testicles in your face. I guarantee you that. You won't have to do that if you're going with manscaped.com. Make sure that you get all of your manscaping needs taken care of by manscaped.com with the promo code ZBT. You're going to have everything that you need for a low, low price. 20% off free shipping with the code ZERO at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you, and so will your significant other, no matter who that might be. Let's get started with the show. On the show with you guys. I missed you guys. We usually talk two times a week, and I was in and out last week. It was a quick show for me Friday, and then I was off the radar again. Not on the show on Monday or Tuesday, whenever you guys released it, and it felt weird to see all the tweets coming out and the Instagrams from Kyle, and I wasn't on the show. Felt weird. People were asking if I was sick, if all kinds
and
of stuff. Like, where are you?
It really went to Khan's head. He really went. He went above and beyond regular Khan's to super charcuterie board cons, Mr. Yeah. Fancy Pants, boat shoes, 6-inch inseam cons.
Yeah,
looking down on all of us.
I was kind of surprised that Kyle didn't name the episode Fragile Masculinity Cons because he's so concerned about wearing another man's gear that he's so fragile he can't even do it. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. Fact of the matter is, I would have said all the same things had Chaps been there with us, so I'm not afraid of Chaps or... I do not ratchet it up when he is not there, and I stand by everything
true.
I said.
I see you gloating around, you peacocking around, because you know that you're not going to be called to the carpet in the same exact way. We'll get going today and see what actually happens here. Round number one. I'm excited about this one, and I think Kate was a little nervous when she first put it on the sheet. This is the round number one is the whispering, the ASMR one. So what do we got first, Kate?
Well, first of all, did you guys know what ASMR was? Do you know what it is?
I didn't before Tommy Smokes and...
Abella Danger, the porn star.
Yes.
I think they did an ASMR together, and I'll get into it in a second, but I will say, like, people seek it out to help them sleep kind of thing, and also to get the tingles. Have you ever heard a sound or someone's voice that you get these tingles on the back of your neck, and you're like, say it again, like something weird like that, or heard a sound...
Mufasa.
Like, is there, like, a little sound that you love that you hear around the house that you're like, ooh, that sounded really good. I want to hear that again.
Quiet.
The starting of a lawnmower. I don't know. I like that.
Really gets you? Okay. So people have these certain sounds that give them the tingles, and I'll get into it. In 2009, and this is from Sarah Sicard at the Military Times Observation Post. The Observation Post at that newspaper has become a really fun, funky, interesting stories coming out of there. In 2009, a woman named Jennifer Allen went on a mission to discover why sometimes she'd experience a tingling sensation in her head and neck when she heard certain sounds. Naturally, she turned to the internet to see, like, hey, is anybody else ever getting this? The feeling was nameless at the time, but there was a forum, like a whole big thread about it, where people were talking about weird sensations that feel good. She then came on with naming the phenomenon autonomous sensory meridian response, very unnecessary, or ASMR. According to experts, ASMR is a perceptual sensory phenomenon likened to meditation, which encompasses a pleasant and calming tingling sensation in the scalp and neck when you experience it. Now people looking to experience it can turn to YouTube, where videos produce these triggers. There's like trigger sounds that give people the tingles. And these videos are a hit. ASMR has become one of the top search terms on Google, and on YouTube, ASMR content producers have tens of millions of subscribers with millions of views. Some of the people I looked up have like 14 million, 20 million, like an insane amount of thing. And what they do is like they'll hold a hairbrush in their hand and they'll they'll run their fingers down the hairbrush, or they'll tap the microphone, or they'll eat chips really close to it. And people, it gives them goosebumps all over their bodies.
I don't like it because it's the exact thing that we're not supposed to do on radio is what these people tune in for.
Right.
Like
right.
If I did this shit when I was on radio, people would be angry about it. Like if I was eating Snickers bars and stuff like that and smacking in the mic, people would be pissed. I think that ASMR should not be called ASMR. It should be called the heebie-jeebies, because that's what it gives me. When somebody starts talking all soft and slow, into the just like I did in round when I was reading the rounds, you get grossed
out.
I gotta tell you,
I don't have a proclivity to ASMR, and I actually didn't know, Chaps, just like you, I didn't really know what it was until it was brought into my purview from Tommy Smokes, but I don't search it out because I do think it's weird.
It is super weird. Well, it's part of the reason why it's so popular is that this whispering and the soft sounds and the – oh, hold on.
God bless.
That was
follow
ASMR.
That was ASMR for all of you. Did you like that? One of the reasons people like it so much – thank you, Chaps. You're getting the hang of it. It helps people sleep. People lay there and they listen to these whispering, these soft sounds. They get the tingles and they fall asleep. And the U.S. military world – rest and sleep deficiencies are one of the most, like, one of the biggest problems facing us. They said that 85% of active duty military members have been diagnosed with a sleep disorder. Not great when we're, you know, driving ships and tanks and all sorts of crazy stuff. So it's no surprise that there's a subculture totally dedicated to military ASMR on YouTube.
Can I ask you a question? Because we hadn't heard of ASMR. Did you guys hear of sleep apnea before the last, I'd say, 5-10 years? I think that's when that term like really started to come out. To me, that's like the sleep diagnosis of Motrin for a corpsman. Like if they can't figure out why you can't sleep, just sprinkle a little sleep apnea on top of your diagnosis.
Well, I think that came with women getting more and more outspoken and us getting sick and tired of men keeping us up all night with their snoring.
Yeah, anyways, well, so, you guys stink in other ways.
Military ASMR, then, is a whole thing. And Sarah Sicard at the Military Times, she's right. I Googled it, and there are endless YouTube videos. And it's like ASMR, a military girl gives you a military haircut and measurements for your new uniform. And it's like this beautiful woman wearing a uniform that she probably found at the Army-Navy store. And she's got a ton of makeup on, and she gently and slowly gives you a haircut, and she's rubbing her fingers down the combs and buzzing
probably
your hair.
Probably with the Lawnmower 3.0.
And then ASM Army gives you a physical exam. She's also another beautiful woman, ear to ear, soft whisper, crinkly shirt, personal checkup. So you know a lot of guys are clicking on that. Yeah, yeah, just a little... and then here's another one. Rude English Army gives you a relaxing physical examination ASMR. It's just an angry looking man with a flashlight in a uniform. I don't know who would want to click that, but it's got almost 300,000 views. And then ASMR nurse personal attention role play. A ton of them have to do.
Yeah, that one I could understand.
You get the tingles on the
regions. A lot of these are just like auditory hornies.
Right. Yeah, a lot of it's like auditory horny for sure. But I wanted to see, I went through some of these videos and I found 7 sounds that I isolated and sent to you guys in order. And I told you to write down. So here is sound, and I'm going to have you guess. Here is sound number 1.
All right, so that's the first one. That's tough because I didn't do like cons and listen to them for 45 minutes in a row, like you said before we started recording. I only listened to it one time through to get through. To me, that one sounded like just shuffling of papers, like filing paperwork.
Kyle, what did you think?
I thought it sounded kind of like a canteen cup. Something like maybe cooking, putting a canteen cup on like a camp stove. I honestly had no idea though.
Closer than chaps. Cons, what did you think it was?
So I thought this was the easiest one. I thought this was an MRE heater, opening it up, pouring the water, and then the water starting to sizzle.
Correct. Nerd. Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
Let's go.
All right, Cons, you nailed it. All right, sound, military sound number two. Okay, chaps, what do you think?
I think that one sounds like somebody is on a little ruck mark and they didn't tie up all their metal shit and some of it's clanging around whenever they're doing a ruck.
All right, Kyle?
This one, I wrote it down. I said no clue. I could not. This ASMR, I can't like register some things in my brain. I don't know if I'm broken, but I could not put a pin in it.
Each of these videos were from very popular ones, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views. Wow. Cons?
So, Chops, I think this one, Kate actually helps us on this one because she does this from time to time and you yell at her. But this sounded to me like somebody was chewing something and there was a little bit of a fat back and forth. So it was like maybe like the cheese spread or peanut butter on it.
That is correct. It's somebody chewing on an MRE. It's somebody eating. Literally, those first two were from a video where a man just sits there with the microphone close to his mouth, and he makes an MRE, and he eats it.
I'm getting
it.
Real close to saying Cons is an integrity violator and looking these up on the top YouTube list. I mean, because just don't get MRE cheese as your guest. MRE cheese.
No, I said cheese or peanut butter.
Is somebody biting? Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I think cheese and peanut butter have a distinct sound when you chew.
I think he just devoted an incredible amount of time to get these right because he's hyper competitive even about this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Even something as stupid as this, like I feel like this is testing my intelligence, although it has nothing to do with intelligence.
I'm going to skip us ahead to number four if you have that one ready to go because I think this one you'll be able to actually get.
I mean, that just sounds like somebody's nails are tapping on something.
Yes, but what? What military item makes that hollow sound?
Oh, they're tapping on the hand grip on the rifle.
Ooh, close, Kyle.
Is it the buttstock?
No, Cons.
Empty canteen?
Yes, correct. Cons,
God
again, with another one.
All right.
And let's just skip ahead to the last one. I think you'll all know what this one is. Easy and simple. I mean, who among us doesn't know that sound?
I don't know that sound. Is that? I have no idea what that one is.
Kyle?
I mean, I would have guessed the same thing as the last time.
I don't know. I can't think about it.
Cons?
All right, so I have kind of two guesses. This is either somebody going like this with their chief, or it's someone having some private time, which I don't really feel good about, but...
That is correct, Cons. It's someone porta-john. It's someone fapping.
It was not that.
Someone fapping in a...
penis sounds like that?
It's in a porta-john. It's 113 degrees. There's a line outside. The soldier is getting it done quickly. That is a porta-john fap. But I wanted
to... Who would have guessed it? I'm an ASMR guy.
Final thing. One of the most popular videos is this man who calls himself Private Sleep. And he sits in a dark room in a ghillie suit, and he's got all sorts of ammo cans behind him, and he tinkers with military stuff, and he pretends, like in this one, you are the staff sergeant of a ragtag bunch, including one particular private, him, who he sits down with you and you eat an MRE with him. And I just want to play this clip, and it is the creepiest shit you've ever heard. Here we go.
Well, Staff Sergeant, once again, I have to say, that was some mighty impressive work that you did out there. No. Thank you, but you know, I just admire your skill, your skill set, and your skill level.
So for what that one is, it's he's like, Staff Sergeant, I just want to tell you were incredible out there. And everything you did. He like, it's so creepy. And so like, you're sitting with him in this dark room and it's just the creepiest, creepiest thing. It goes on for like an hour. This man talking to you in the dark about what a great staff sergeant you are. And he's tinkering with grenades and he's doing all sorts of stuff. I had like 7 of these lined up, but I'm not going to put you guys through it. But I'm just proud of Cons. Cons, do you know what you think the other ones were?
I wrote them down.
Was one Velcro?
The third one, I had like scratching on either Velcro or maybe like a boot or a party gear uniform.
Scratching on a boot. Yes, that is correct. The other creepy.
I didn't know what the other one was.
Yeah, crinkling of a ghillie suit and man tinkering with an MK2 pineapple grenade. Those are actual YouTube military ASMRs. But there is a ton.
Who the fuck would get the pineapple grenade?
Yeah, it's exactly. Well, I thought Cons might have done it. He was doing so well with these. But if you know your grenades, you know your grenades. But yeah, just the more you go down this rabbit hole, the creepier and creepier and creepier these military ASMRs get. I didn't know it was a genre. I knew of ASMR, but I had no idea there was this whole hundreds and hundreds of military videos, mostly of creepy physical exams. So if you're out there looking to get all horned up and tingly, now you have a plan for the weekend.
You know, you could do that with some of the stuff that comes in the BarkBox Super Chewer thing, too, because they send the ones I've talked about the last couple shows where they've had the weed ones, the 420 package where they have like a bong, a joint, or whatever. The joint one has like the crinkles in it. And I told you, I've been letting Gus have some toys. He will sit and roll around in his bed and hit it. Where I would know what that sound is. One of the sounds, that's what it reminded me of, is that. So if you want to have your dog have a good time with a little weed, when people are coming out to your house, they see your dog with a little weed thing in their mouth, they're just going to laugh. You're going to be the king of the ball, the king of the ball. They have 2 full bags of allergy-friendly treats and 2 meaty all-natural chews. And this bag are in the box that comes this month with 2 durable chews. Whether it's shaped like a grill or a steak or whatever, they always have something cool for the dogs. Make sure you go to superchewer.com/ZBT to get a free weed themed toy in your first box when you sign up. That's superchewer.com/ZBT for a 420 theme toy in your first box when you sign up. Join the pack today. You're going to love Super Chewer. Your dog just likes it too. Like whenever you have a little toy and you get to unbox it, it's a nice little moment for the whole squad when the puppy gets a nice little treat. It's lovely. All right, let's go on to round number 2. Which I'll admit, it made me a little bit triggered because this story comes to us from Stars and Stripes. Which, let's just say it, Stars and Stripes needs to be funded by the fucking Senate.
Yes.
Enough with the tweets saying that you're going to do it, Mr. President. Just fucking do it. Fund Stars and Stripes. Without Stars and Stripes, we don't have like 90% of our stories.
Yeah.
That we have here.
Save ZBT. Save Stars and Stripes. That is the key.
I never thought it would get to the point where ZBT's news would be really dependent on a line of appropriation from the Senate and the House of Representatives. But we need to get this figured out. Not only just because it's a great news source, but the people who work there put their hearts and souls.
They really do.
They really care
people.
About the troops, and this is how they get their information. I mean, I can't imagine living overseas and not having Stars and Stripes.
Right.
Like, legitimately.
And, too, I follow a ton of those journalists on Twitter, and they are really – they do care. They, like, are so good at their jobs, and we need – and it's important. This news from all over the place is important. Very key.
I mean, I remember when we first started quarantine season – where a lot of journalists from different outlets, whether it be Sports Illustrated or Fox Sports or wherever, they were getting furloughed. And they were like, okay, well, we'll take our talent somewhere else. We're going to do something else and find some place to write and get paid for it. these people who work in the military news, whether it be Defense News or Stars and Stripes or Military Times, they were saying, even if I'm not getting paid, this is the most important time for me to be doing this job, is getting this information out there. With so many local newspapers struggling and local news outlets struggling, you got to have these type of things, or otherwise you're just left with fucking Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, and you're not going to get anything accurate. I need to have some of the smaller ones.
At what point is everyone just going to realize just collectively that Fox News, CNN, MSNBC is not news? It's just entertainment. So we need sources that are going to give us legitimate news.
Right. Like, and if we didn't have Stars and Stripes, we wouldn't have this story that happened at Edwards Air Force Base in California, where they've been whizzing around on two wheels since September 2nd, when the facility became the first in the Air Force to offer electric scooters for rent.
Describe the photo that we have up.
All right. So they have this photo, and it's the classic rent-a-scooter things. I think this one, it looks like it's named Spin. And I have one of these scooters. Kate and I have gone all over the place where we've gone scoot goofing in California, in San Antonio, different places. If there's a scooter, I'm riding it.
Yes.
There's just something different. First of all, I'll have a larger theme. I hate seeing military members in fucking helmets, first of all.
And not like, just, not Kevlar's, but like bicycle helmets.
Like Red Carl from fucking Barstool Chicago bike helmet. I hate that shit. It just looks gross. And I know safety is paramount whenever you're going in and out of work. You wear a bike helmet and you're in a military uniform, you look like a fucking clown. You just do.
You do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You just do.
You could be John Cena thrown on his Marine outfit from the movie Marine that's on HBO Max that I started watching the other day. That shit is terrible. Mm-hmm. You could be John Cena, throw on a bike helmet. You look like a nerd. You just do.
Right.
There should be some level of intimidation that happens. You can't be intimidating on a scooter. To the point, my older kid is in band, and we don't live that far. We live like a mile away from her high school, and we have one of the electric scooters, and I was like, you know, you don't have to ride your bike. Why don't you ride the electric scooter? She's like, Dad, I'll look like such a nerd if I roll up on an electric scooter. And I'm like, what? A nerd with your electric scooter? Not the case. I think that's different whenever you're in the military. They said on the base that they are open to providing scooters wherever we can serve the service member. That's what the company said. Electric scooters are a transportation option for airmen who are new to a base or on temporary duty and don't have a vehicle, said Fong, who learned about the troops' need from liaison officers during a previous career as a foreign service officer at embassies in Mexico and India. The launch of the scooter service at Edwards, which started with 17 scooters, was welcomed by the 412th Test Wing Command Chief Master Sergeant Ian Eichen on a September 3rd Facebook post. That right there is the difference between the Air Force and the Marine Corps and, I believe, the Army.
Yeah.
You ask a sergeant major of a base, can we have electric scooters?
This guy Fong, and he's the CEO of the Spin company who's bringing it there. And like he's saying, he was at this previous post, like in a previous career, talking to Air Force officers. And they came to the conclusion that, hey, yeah, scooters would be great. If he was with Marine Corps officers, this conversation would have never taken off. like, no, we're good. We don't need scooters, thanks. Like, you know?
I try to put myself, because I'm so far removed from being like Marine me and how angry I was as like a Marine leader. If one of my Marines would have just scoot goofed up to fucking battalion headquarters, I would have lost my fucking mind.
I would have
had like a big vein in my temple that was pulsing. I would have legit wanted to kill that Marine.
Yeah, if PFC Snuffy rolled up the formation, I would have shook my head, walked over to my platoon sergeant, and I'd have said, Smoke, just go talk to him, because we just can't have that. And you know what the other thing the Army would do? And I'd imagine the Marines would probably do this too. They would make it so painful to ride the scooter, because you'd have to do 3 hours of a safety class, and then you'd have to go do a safety course to prove that you know what you're doing and get your scooter certification, and then you'd have to renew your scooter certification. And inevitably, people would get in accidents left and right. I guarantee it.
But that being said, you know what I would do now that my brain is working? I hated when broke dick bitches would get out of PT. Like if we had company PT or battalion PT, be like, oh, I can't go. This recruit's knee hurts or whatever. I would say you will be in the back with the rest of the little broke dick bitches riding on your scooter. That's what you're going to do. We are going to be going out. We're going to do a formation run, and you're just going to be circling behind. And if somebody falls out, we're going to have the OK Corral with nothing but scooters circling the troops.
I actually love the idea of
PT.
I love the idea of scooters behind and in front. It's the new road guards. The road guards. Yeah, road scoots. Guards.
Post.
And that's the new for people who can't run. That's the new thing they got to do. I really like that, actually. But they do make a good point. Sometimes some of the barracks are like pretty spread out and blah, blah. And when you're new to the fleet and you don't have a car, it is super isolating at first. And so mm-hmm. I get it. And I think hearing us talk about this and how much we are rejecting these scooters, like, oh, God, it's because it makes sense and it is a good idea. And we're so ingrained to be stupid assholes who prefer life more difficult that we cannot wrap our heads around the Air Force embracing this smart thing. Like, yes, we're like, ew.
But that being said, junior troops make terrible decisions.
Oh, for sure.
And a lot of the times they're so nervous about customs and courtesies. Like, remember when you were a brand new troop, or even when you're brand new at West Point cons,
yeah,
and you're passing by somebody who's senior or a lot senior to you, you get nervous and like how to respond and mm-hmm. like, am I going to say the right greeting of the day or whatever? Am I going to salute whenever I'm going by?
Yeah.
There's going to be a huge accident by some boot-ass bitch that's riding a scooter going to whip out a salute, right. has their left right. hand, and they jerk it down to their trouser right. seam. And next thing you know, they're eating pavement. This recruit was riding a scooter by the PX and fell. It's not going to work.
There's going to be problems with that. Also, so they must wear helmets. And they must obey road rules. And for, because you can scoot, you don't have to have a license to scoot, I don't think. They only go 15 miles an hour, but they can go for, this says 38 miles. I yeah. also am thinking about punishments. Fine, scoot to the edge of base and back. Like, I think, you know, it's like 2 degrees out. Like, good, go scoot to the edge and come back.
Give me 4 Marines right now. We need to do a scoot patrol.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm thinking, too, these are available 24 hours on the weekends. They're saying, you know, you got to follow road rules. You can't scoot impaired. You get a booty call at a barracks a couple miles away, you're yeah. shit faced. You're hopping on that scooter. I'm sorry.
My gunny just left. Say no more, fam.
Yeah, I'm on the scooter. I'm scooting over to you, babe. I'll be there in a minute. So we asked our followers on Zero Block 30's Twitter, if your base got electric rideshare scooters, would you actually ride them to the PX, work, the barracks? I was thinking it was going to be an overwhelming, resounding hell no. Because the options are yes, no, hell no, Navy Coast Guard. It was 40.
Well, I got to give credit to our listeners. I think a lot of them are very much just committed to Navy Coast Guard, and they will pick that no matter what the poll is.
Well, that was the number two choice. The first choice, yeah, exactly. though, was the first choice was yes. Over 1,146 people voted. 40.9% said yes, I would ride these scooters in my uniform with a goofy ass red helmet on. Around base.
I just don't think that's true. I think that that's one of those delusions of grandeur where you think that you're going to do this. Next thing you know, you see first sergeant or top or chief or somebody over across the way. You are not getting on that scooter with yeah. them watching you. You're
I guarantee
not.
It, yeah. I think this is so rank specific. You're right. I think if you're like E8 and above or O3 and above, yeah, I don't care.
Oh, no. See, I think E8's no shot. The only ones I could see doing it and like getting away with it, you would have to be a super squared away sergeant or E5 that like their shit doesn't stink. You're amazing like leader and you're in great shape and things like that. And they know that you're doing it just to have a good time and just to make the troops laugh.
Yeah.
You can get away with it then. If you're a nasty little shitbird and you step on a scooter, your life is over.
Your staff sergeant might run you over in his lifted really? Truck.
Like, I hate to say it. I guarantee it. If you saw a fat body on a scooter, oh my God!
Oh,
can you imagine
God.
The E6 just trucking him down and
shit.
Spearing him
get
right
off
that scooter?
Fucking scooter and get on your own goddamn feet right now!
Like, oh my God!
You're well, gonna become a skinny body acting like that on those scooters. Get
on
the hell
our,
off right now.
On our ZBT tweet that we did, a couple people responded with some funny ones. Sucker for Parlay said, is a reflective belt required to ride? They didn't say that in the article, but you know 110% yes.
I go without saying.
There's no option for blackout drunk, said Fatty Tom. Of course not. And then my favorite, Matthew Hall replied with that picture from Dumb and Dumber where they're holding each other on the scooter. He said, do I need an A driver? Do I need somebody to help me while I'm on it?
And I would like to see is that this base – this Air Force base, they have all these different scooters, 18 scooters. I think that they should just get like the truck nuts for them. Like,
tiny they just little.
Have scooter truck nuts.
And Volvos.
True.
Yeah. Jesus, thank you.
Can you just imagine, though, how many sick calls you're going to get with scooter injuries, though? So I
yeah,
would
that
ban
be
them.
Service-related injury?
Wow. Imagine uh-huh. you're at the VA. What happened to you?
You fell scooter. And you broke your clavicle and your cheekbone and now you can't hear good. You have to tell the VA, like, I think that I deserve some disability because I was scoot goofing whenever I was an airman first class.
Deployment coming up that you know an airman doesn't want to go on. You look outside at night, you see him eyeballing the scooters. So you're like, don't even think about it.
They have security cameras outside the barracks and are like, we saw you run into the fucking building on purpose, you dumbass.
We saw you jumping curbs.
I just love the idea of hazing someone by making them ride 38 miles at 15 miles an hour on a scooter.
Well,
someone...
what about because the Army just passed their regulations that you're allowed to do physical training for corrections? What if somebody's fucked up? And you're like, you know what? We're going to go for a run, but I didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not running. I'm scoot goofing. You're going to run beside me.
Wow.
You're like, come
yeah.
on, let's go. Ooh, let's go. Ooh, let's go. Yep. Come on. And have like, if it's a fat kid, you have like a long fishing pole with a donut on the end, and you just make them chase it.
Okay. All right.
That's perfect.
Yeah, fats. All right, let's move on to round number three.
Fat people, they'll never be not funny.
Cons. We don't say that. We just say fats.
Wow.
All right, let's move on to
it's
round
pretty
number
simple.
Three.
Don't be fat.
Cons. All right, what do we got for round number three, Kate?
Excuse me.
Before we say this story, I have to say, because we discussed this on radio the other day too when the story first came out, I think if there were ever a Jon Stewart fan club, Kate would be the founding member and president.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a simp. I'm a Stewart simp. Or I was about to say cuck, but I'm not. Much respect to Mrs. Stewart. Anyways, Okay, before we get into it. Round number three, doing a little burn pit goofing here. First of all, on your guys' deployments, were you all adjacent, at least really near, where you could smell the burn pits?
Yeah, yes. At some point, yeah.
Do you have any, like, what was the closest you got to them kind of thing?
I mean, I was in pretty small outposts, so we were there all the time. Like, if you took a house, like, that was a pretty common thing for us to do in Fallujah at the time was you would go out, you would overtake a house that had good overwatch position and things like that, and all of your wag bags and shit, like, you had to burn it before you would leave. So if you were a junior troop, like, the junior folks had to do it. I was luckily not to have to do that because I was a dog handler and be like, oh, my dog can't be around fire. So right. I never had to do it, but that would suck, man. Like, the people, like, in the actual movie Jarhead, when Swofford is out there and mm-hmm. David Foster is coming out and he's stirring the shit, that's exactly what it's like for the civilian listener. Like, you have a lot of times it'll be a 55-gallon drum that's just cut in half that people are shitting in. You're throwing diesel fuel in it, and you're just mixing it with a big stick standing over the top of it smelling burning diesel fuel and shit. Like, that's exactly right. What it is.
And like you're saying, on a lot of the smaller outposts, I know at the one that I was at, it was a mud hut that we lived in, and literally directly on the other side of the wall, it was a very small footprint, this place that we lived in, so the burn pit was literally right on the other side of the wall where we slept. It had to be monitored at all times, and there was just a constant. And we lived here for like over a month, a constant haze of smoke that had plastics and our own shit and like
MRE bags, everything.
MRE bags, trash, whatever the ANA was throwing in there at night. Like, who knows what the hell that was? Their sappy plates, probably. I know a couple times they would throw, watch out, some rounds are going to go off. Like, people would throw shit in there that were not supposed to go in.
We had guys throw,
fun. Now, yeah, we don't want to take that away. Burning stuff is fun.
Burning stuff is fun. That's there, a hoot.
even now, I will throw stuff on the fire just to see what'll happen.
My favorite thing to throw on fire is Christmas wrapper.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that goes up very quickly. But you know what's even better at Christmas time are pine needles, because they go up really fast and they crackle.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree. ASMR. That's good ASMR, but I had to, right?
Same thing, Kate. I was on a really tiny outpost. I had to pass our burn pit every day I went to my office.
Yeah. And a lot of times, even on the larger bases, depending on the way that the wind was going, there was just this smell. It was almost constant, this acrid. It's that burning plastic, but there was something almost, it was even worse. It was something that you grew accustomed to. Nobody complained about. It was just part of everyday life. Like, what the hell else are you going to do? We have
and
to get rid of our
trash. And
it's a smell
that sticks with you, too. Like, that sticks around. Like, when you come back from deployment, you know, and you, like, set your bags down and you, like, put your sea bag or whatever into the corner and you take, like, a day before you open it up. And once you open up that zipper, all those smells come out and it's like, whoa.
And every Holy now and then, shit. Like, you know, they say your smell is most closely linked with your memory. Every now and then you'll pass like a burning car on the highway or something like that. And you're like, oh my God, it takes you right back to that smell. Well, it turns out at the time, like, and Kyle, I'm sure absolutely with your deployment, I'm sure you were around plenty of burn pits in your time too. Am I right?
Yeah, we had a good big one. Even dogs would get thrown in there, like the Afghan jackal dogs. They'd get shot, and then we'd throw them in there, and it was disgusting.
That took a darker turn. Kyle.
Yeah, seriously. That Jesus was dark.
Christ. But like,
Kyle just came off like a collar on the Chaps cage.
Yeah, he did. But these burn pits, but like, he brings up a point, like, anything.
We're like, they burned peanut butter. Kyle's like, oh, yeah, we were fucking murdering
dogs. But they were an ugly thing like this. Anything and everything went in them. And the VA memo that has come out lists chemicals, paint, medical and human waste, metal, aluminum cans, munitions, unexploded ordnance, petroleum, lubricant products, plastic, styrofoam, rubber, wood, and discarded food as common items thrown in these. And these were things that big base, small fob, forward operating base, whatever, you were around this smoke 24/7. It was always wafting over you. And again, it was something we just kind of lived with. And I never thought much of it, though. You know, did you guys, like, I got home from deployment, years go by, I never really gave it much second thought. I don't think I mentioned it in my, like, hey, I'm applying for benefits. It didn't cross my mind to, like, say, hey, yeah, I was in this smoke for like 2 years pretty much. Like,
I didn't think about it until I saw a newspaper article about it, and then I was like, huh, yeah, we did do that a lot.
Yeah,
it wasn't something that, because I was like, oh, this is cool. We get to burn stuff all the time. I like that.
Right. A direct hit of your wag bag on a flame and watching your poop burn, nothing like it. Yeah. I mean, you feel like artillery.
Or if you could put it out, like if you have diarrhea bad enough and there's a fire going and you go directly to the fire pit.
Right. It's a big deal.
Kate, I'm just gonna interject really quickly. Burning poop and exploding artillery, slightly different.
Well, we all have had our... Depends on the poop. Right, exactly. Thanks, Kyle. Anyways, only years later, as the effects are really emerging, and I mean, it's been for years and years and years, but the noise is getting louder about this. Veterans are getting sick and dying from all sorts of cancers and diseases and are suffering from all sorts of chronic illnesses that are being directly related to these burn pits. I mean, the evidence is there. And it's back on my radar again because of the tireless efforts of John Stewart. He did it for the 9/11 first responders. He's doing it now for us. But it's really yesterday or 2 days ago, he was down in D.C. with a coalition of other advocates to lobby for the passage of a new bill which will list burn pit exposure as a presumptive condition for any service member who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. That would mean no more having to fight tooth and nail and feel like you're on trial. I swear I was in an area with burn pits, like, please give me these benefits, like, blah, 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 blah. And them saying, well, you know, this and that and this and that. So it would just be automatically assumed. Oh, you were there?
Oh, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Well, so, but
the money involved in that would be astronomical.
Yes, but... Yeah. But listen to
him. Imagine the back pay.
Okay, but listen to this. You're talking about money and pay and, oh, it'll be so expensive. Listen to John Stewart right here.
And what's the common ingredient? Jet fuel. Jet fuel as the accelerant at ground zero. Jet fuel as the accelerant in these burn pits. And so our veterans lived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, next to toxic smoke, dioxins, everything. And now they're being told, hey, man, is that stuff bad for you? I don't know. We don't have the science. It's about money. And we're here today to say we're not going to let this happen in the dark. We're going to make sure that every one of those people goes on record and is held accountable for the illnesses of our veterans. Hundreds of thousands of them.
He talks about, and there's two clips I almost want to play because there's that one, but he talks about, we just ordered thousands of F-35s, maybe order a few less. A few less F-35s would cover the cost of care for this. If we have the money for these things, we need to have the money, fucking figure it out, to take care of what we've already put our veterans through. Don't be starting new stuff if we cannot take care of the ones who have been fighting our old stuff. Like, it is absolutely imperative to take care of our veterans and our active duty military and whatever is a result of their time in service. Like, we owe them that, and it has to be included in our budget. It has to be. And I think he's absolutely right. Like, it's...
No, I think he's right. I just, I don't think it's realistic. I don't think that that's something that would happen.
But it's, there's proof. There's absolute solid proof that the government knew for a long, long, long ass time that these burn pits were bad, that they were causing all sorts of trouble, that there are veterans legit dying, slow, horrible deaths because of this, and that they knew there was better ways than the burn pits that were instituted in the first place, but they chose to keep rolling with it over more costly methods. Like, that was more important than the lives of what, and the stuff that's happening now, it's horrible. If you look up different stories of veterans who are suffering from this stuff. So I think they owe it to us to figure it out and fix it. And I think, you know, you can go and put pressure on your representatives. We can put some links in the blog when we put the show out. But it's crazy. So there's over 200,000 veterans who have said their health has been compromised so far. And they say, like, hundreds of thousands of us have been exposed to it. A lot of veterans out there probably have issues that they're not even thinking in their minds. Oh, this chronic cough that I can't get rid of, that's the burn pits. Like, they probably don't even put the two and two together.
I don't mean to be a downer again, but just look at how the VA and the government has handled Agent Orange from Vietnam.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They still won't really recognize a lot of that. And they knew, I mean, that's what, 40 years now? They've known that that was a dangerous chemical, and they don't give a shit. So...
I have an uncle with leukemia, the same kind as tons of Vietnam veterans have from Agent Orange, and he's still fighting to
Well, I get think care that the bigger, it's crazy. The bigger takeaway here is that you got to respect guys like John Stewart, who is not just, hey, one day a week or one day a year I go and I try to champion for the veterans' cause. This is a guy who really almost devotes his life to veterans and to 9/11 first responders and really takes up their torch and really fights for us. So you got to really give him a hat tip and appreciate everything he's doing because, like, I mean, like Kyle's saying, you're dealing with stuff from Vietnam that is still not being handled properly. So this is a extremely large obstacle. While I agree the money's there, he says it in his speech, the money's clearly there in the budget somewhere, so they would just have to rearrange where it goes. But as easy as that is and as easy as that sounds, it's a near impossible task.
Well, they better figure it out, damn it.
We need to figure out before we even step further. I know John Stewart's heavily involved. We need to find our generation, our causes, Ed Lauder, who was the mesothelioma guy. Like, if we don't have our own personal Ed Lauder, then I think we're completely screwed. Yeah. We need to find somebody with that dynamic handlebar mustache that can go out there and be the face of the causes of the burn pit. I think that's what we need for sure. Yeah. But good on John Stewart. Again, if you are having those issues, make sure you go and start the process because the VA process is long. Don't wait until it gets out of control. You need to report it as soon as you can to your local VA.
Really quick, it's daunting to do that. Disabled American Veterans, I think DAV.org, they will help you. They are so good. They've helped over 200,000 veterans. They'll, like, stand side by side with you and walk you through your benefits and fight for you to help you get them. They are, like, really, really good if you're overwhelmed by the thought of it. Because a lot of veterans are like, well, I was near burn pits, but it's overwhelming to think about the process. DAV will help you get through that process. Also, register for the burn pit registry on the VA site. Just Google burn pit registry. Register for it. Because the more of us that are out there saying, yes, I was also exposed, the more the government sees, like, we're a force to be reckoned with. There's a lot of us out there, blah, blah, blah. So do that, too. And then you can look online. I think it's CNAS, the CNAS site. You can type in the years you're in Iraq and Afghanistan and see your level of exposure and stuff too. So a lot of stuff. We'll put it in the blog, but it's important.
The other thing I'll say to that, though, too, the VA process, when you're filing a claim, it can seem very daunting and it does take a long time. But when you put that relative to how long you will likely live, it's a drop in the bucket. So why not do that? Because that money is there for you. So just I know it can seem daunting at times, but just do your best to have the patience to go through the process.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about vulvas. Let's move on to round number four. The Russians, they're back at it again, but this time it's not because they're in tanks chasing us down or Bradleys or whatever the fuck they were and planes and stuff like that. They are all over the place and doing things. Kate, what are they doing here?
First of all, Cons, tell us, what is a vulva? What's the who, what, where, when, why?
You got me. I have no idea.
Are you serious?
Oh, I know. I have a little ditty. Go. You don't know, Cons?
Cons,
guess. I kind of know.
Guess. Tell us what you think a vulva is.
It's an old
Stop
wooden
Googling
ship.
Cons.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an old wooden ship from old wooden times.
The USS Vulva.
It's like the outer parts of the stuff down there.
The flaps? Right? You think the vulva's the flaps?
The beef
curtain. Well, I have a little ditty for the people at home. The vulva's the entire pussy. Like, that's what we say. It's like the whole
outside. That's your ditty? The vulva's the entire pussy? That's your ditty?
Yeah.
That's.
If I was a senior, drone strike would be like, what's the vulva?
Sir, the vulva is the entire pussy, sir.
Well, you're
okay,
right.
Hold on. I got to read this now, actually, because I did, after I made my guess, I did Google it, and it's just from one website. It says the vulva is the outer part of the female genitals.
Yeah.
The vulva includes the opening of the vagina, which, next part, I didn't know this was something, sometimes called the vestibule.
I had no idea. The vestibule.
That's part of a church. Like, that's near the altar, right?
Kick off your shoes. Come into my vestibule. Yeah, man.
So anyway, go ahead, Kate.
No, keep reading. This is important.
Into my vestibule sounds different now.
I'm all set on this, actually. Go ahead.
No, Cons, please. You're doing such a great job.
I'm all set.
Educate
thanks.
The masses.
The labia majora, aka the outer lips, the labia minora, which is a Hanukkah thing, inner lips, and the clitoris around the opening of the vagina. There are two sets of skin folds, not one, but a two. Anyways,
you can also say that the vulva is the Homer's mouth.
Right, exactly. It's the vertical smile of right. Very important. Anyways, I just
right,
wanted.
I'm uncomfortable.
I just wanted to make sure we all knew what a vulva was before. Right. If a PFC is listening to this, nobody thinks a PFC knows what a vulva is. Now they're going to blow minds at the bar on Friday night.
You're scooting up. Let me tell you guys about the entire pussy.
Yeah, you guys want to know what the vulva is? You want a little ditty? Anyways, around this is over in Russia. So I Googled, I'm like, we're always doing American military news. Let me look up some Russian military news. And it was all like, you know, fucking with the US and doing Russian stuff. And then I was like, vulvas was like the fourth story down. So of course I clicked. Around 20 National Guard officers reportedly stormed a screening of the German documentary Vulva 3.0, billed as a non-sensationalistic research into the history of the female anatomy. So it's a documentary about vulvas, the whole
pussy.
You can
still shave your vulva 3.0 with the lawnmower 3.0.
Absolutely. After an anonymous tip-off about homosexual propaganda, the Moscow Times reported. So, we'll get into it in a second, but officers with the force, an internal military agency which answers directly to Vladimir Putin, reportedly stormed into the screening and bellowed, "This is not okay." Okay. The screening's organizer, Andrei Parshikov, told media that an unnamed chief said he would take a copy of Vulva 3.0 to see if it violated the prohibition law, but couldn't guarantee anything. So these soldiers storm and they're like, we're going to need that Vulva movie. And then they like dipped out. So it's for research. It's to make sure that you guys are doing the right thing.
How sad is that? That German officers or Russian officers are still in the place where they have to jerk off like they're like a 14-year-old boy looking at their anatomy
right.
book in high school.
So as a result of the raid, Parshikov said the screening will be postponed to a later date. Representatives of the National Guard denied that they were deployed to the venue. No, we weren't. No, we didn't. We didn't take Vulva 3.0. The Vulva 3.0 screening was held in solidarity with Yulia Teslakova, who faces up to 6 years in jail for distributing so-called gay propaganda in Russia on a social media page called the Vagina Monologues, which encourages people to share artistic depictions of vaginas in order to remove the taboo, which I think
is
cool.
Which I do on BarstoolSports.com.
Yes, check it out. It's a vagina. Everybody get over it. We're looking at dicks all the time. Who cares?
Right.
So she was fined a thumping, it's a, whatever Russian currency is, 75,000 of some sort of Russian currency, which seems like a lot, for sharing illustrations of queer couples online in July, and was charged twice in the winter of 2019 for sharing drawings of vaginas. She got charged for sharing drawings of vaginas and posting on social media about feminism. The 27.
I'm sorry, that's like in Superbad. He's like, I couldn't stop drawing dicks.
Right. So the 27-year-old has come to be viewed among many Russian LGBTQ communities as something of a figurehead. Her case striking an example of the way in which Russian decision makers and authorities are stifling free speech and queer rights. A big part of Vladimir Putin's leadership is outlawing the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations to minors. In 2013, they put in all sorts of laws and blah, blah, blah. And basically, it's really tough to be LGBTQ in Russia. The government super sucks. And in the years since, he's often used anti-LGBTQ hatred as a cornerstone of his playbook. In March, he proposed a constitutional ban on marriage equality to rally people to vote for a referendum to keep him in power. So recently, universities were instructed to monitor students' social media for gay propaganda, and those caught face expulsion from university. So it is really, really horrible, horrible human rights kind of stuff going on.
Russia's the worst.
It's the fucking worst, dude. It's really tough. So because this Volva 3.0 was feminist and queer and whatever, the actual military stormed in and stopped it. I wonder if they
get
a ribbon
for that. What they should do is basically have like what Michael Scott did when he started another paper company and another paper company. You want to take away Volva 3.0? Fine. I've got Volva 4.0, 5.0, 6. Right. I got endless amount of numbers and endless amount of vagina pics.
To support them, I might start pumping out Volva videos to keep them going, to support the cause. The fight against Putin.
That's our Volva video.
That's our Volva. I just love that they stormed in and said, what was it? This is not okay. And they took, and then they were like, and now we need to take Volva 3.0 from you. And they took it. I just,
right after they got done poisoning somebody with tea, they're like, you guys looking at vagina pics. This right. is bad.
Just imagine if they had scooters.
What's going on here? I'm busy at the hospital pushing people out the window, and you guys are looking at vagina pictures like some deviants?
Yeah. Just wild that, like, that's what, imagine, God bless the USA. I know for, you know, we have our criticisms since and such from time to time, but we're pretty lucky that we're not sending our PFCs in to stop Pee Wee Herman from doing his thing, you know?
Wow, what a throwback reference that was.
And as I said it, I realized at the time we did have police or something stop and we're doing it.
Yeah, Pee Wee got a bad rap on that.
He got a bad rap. I love Pee Wee.
You're on an adult theater. What do they expect you to do? Just suck on a lollipop the entire time?
Right.
Like, that's why you're there. Like,
exactly.
You're there because you're horned up.
Right. I don't know why I brought that up. I don't
You
got
to remember, if you're at like an adult video place and you expect there not to be like clam chowder all over the floor,
right.
You're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That's the moral of that whole segment.
That whole place smells like fucking old hot dog water and shrimp. Let's move on to round number 5. Our good friends at the Coast Guard Academy are doing something. We got a Coast Guard story that doesn't have anything to do with drugs or ships. I don't like that.
Well, it has to do with ships, but doesn't have to do with
but
rescuing.
Like ship rescues, like yes. Somebody going down. Like they'd show on The Guardian time and time again, which I actually
Thank
watched
you.
This weekend.
What? No, you didn't. No, you
of course
didn't.
I
Did you really?
Gods. Of course. Of course
I got
not.
Excited. We were going to do a whole other round on The Guardian.
All right, let's go into round number 5. Cons, what's going on there?
Well, at the Coast Guard Academy, this comes from the Associated Press.
Oh my god.
Excuse Every me, time I call little, on cons, unbelievable.
Little more ASMR.
Looks like he's
for you.
Choking
anyway,
again.
No. Brandyel Carrillo was facing the prospect of a summer marooned by the pandemic at the Coast Guard Academy in London when she was called up for a mission. The U.S. Coast Guard cutter Monroe, bound for a patrol of the U.S. maritime border with Russia, had lost a tenth of its crew due to quarantine and needed reinforcements. Within 2 days, Carrillo and 15 other students from the academy, some of whom had never been on a ship before, were part of its crew. That's wild to just take cadets and say, all right, now you're part of the crew.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She and 10 other sophomores were sent to join 5 seniors who had earlier been assigned to the cutter. The list came out and we just got up and went, she said. They just voluntold us. It was exciting.
To be young and excited yes. about being voluntold. That was my own note that I put in there. I just wanted to say, like, you're stuck on your campus. You can't go anywhere because of COVID-19. I know the military academies have been stricter. And all of a sudden you get tapped to go out to sea on, like, this giant adventure. That's mm-hmm. sweet. How do you think they picked the students? They're probably the top ones, maybe?
Probably, or something.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But and speaking of military academies being strict, so right now at West Point, because they're not allowed to go anywhere, they can't leave post, so they can't go to the bars in town or whatever, they have these cards that they have to bring with them to the bars on post, and the bartender marks off when they've had a drink, and they're only allowed 4 drinks. And if they lose the card, they can't go to the bars anymore.
Oh, my God. That's yeah. wild. Maybe yeah. we don't anyway. Have the freedoms. And, like, this is a wordy story, and I don't want to cut you off, because basically, like, this, the Monroe, that Coast Guard ship, had left California, and then once one of the crew members got coronavirus, everybody pretty much on the ship, like 14 other members, they had to leave. But they had all these, like, they were supposed to be part of a bunch of big exercises out at sea. They're supposed to be on the maritime border with Russia, like making sure weird shit wasn't going on, patrolling and all this stuff. So the cadets, since they were coronavirus free, they got tapped and sent out to the ship. And I love, they took over the menial jobs on the 418-foot ship, washing dishes, cleaning at small boats, and, you know, basically
see,
doing all
the
stuff.
That's actually a great thing to do
same
with
here.
Academy people and, like,
yeah.
people who are going to be officers one day. Like, show them that what's going on with the enlisted side. Show how hard
they
work.
But also, do not give them any level of responsibility in any way, shape, or form. Honestly, like, make them
I
do
mean,
this menial stuff.
That's how I feel about officers in general, honestly.
Well, I know your feelings, and that's okay. And
well,
that's
they,
okay. But I just can't imagine being actually enlisted in the Coast Guard and seeing these cadets come on board and having to take orders from them.
Well, they
I
ended
Coast
up.
Guard's a little bit different in that regard, because you joining the Coast Guard, it's hard. One,
yeah.
to get in and be enlisted in the Coast Guard, it's difficult.
It is difficult. And they had them doing real shit, too. They were launching boats that were boarding fishing vessels. They were keeping eyes out for Russians, which is no small feat. And they were preventing the ships from running into pods of orcas and other whales. One of the cadets was like,
wow,
yeah, the one time we're out in the
boat.
I know. Isn't that cool? He said, one time we were boarding and there was a blue whale that breached right out of the water right next to
Whoa.
The boat. I was on lookout for that. It was so sick, but it was also kind of scary because it was so close. That's 19-year-old cadet Tyler Hunt.
I got to be honest. I got to tell you. Being told, hey, why don't you go up on deck and just look out for whales, only feels slightly above, hey, why don't you go get me some exhaust samples from the Humvee?
I don't know, man. Like, if you're out there and you're in the deep sea of, like, the Bering Strait, and you have, you see a blue whale, I mean, those things are fucking huge. If you're
Absolutely.
Out at sea and a blue whale breaches by your boat, even though you know they're gentle and they're not, like, man-eaters, having something that big and wild by you terrifying.
Oh,
Probably
absolutely.
You're right.
Your vulva
You're
right. is rigid. But these cadets ended up spending 52 days at sea from the Arctic Circle all the way to Hawaii. They were in naval exercises. They were exploring uninhabited islands filled with hot springs. They went alongside a Russian patrol boat communicating and using flag signals. And I mean, earlier, like just 52 days before, they were stuck on their little campus in Connecticut or whatever, and they couldn't go anywhere or do anything. And they ended up getting, they're going to come back to school with such big dick energy on the other sophomores that.
I'm just going to start calling other people pogues
hey,
and shit.
Hey, boot. yeah.
There's a fine line you got to walk, though. So all the academies do this. At some point during your time at all the academies, you'll go out to a real unit and you shadow people. It seems like they're doing a little bit more than just shadowing, so they're actually getting some real-world experience. But I have heard stories of people getting attached to units that are in Kuwait or somewhere not typically ICONUS, and then them saying they have combat experience. So you got to be careful not to step on everybody's toes and start acting like all of a sudden you're King Ding-a-ling and you know everything. So.
Yeah. Well, the final little story of this that I loved, all these students are not 21 years old yet. They're all younger. And so the one day they're at Dutch Harbor in Alaska, the boat is in harbor, and there's a big storm coming. We got to go. But guess what? Everybody 21 and up had been drinking all day. And so they're like, what are we going to do? We got to move the boat. And then they all look over at the cadets who are under 21 and they're like, Here we go, heroes. It's on you. This girl, the Carrillo, age 20 of Aberdeen, Maryland, said, "We were all kind of nervous because it was just us and maybe three other qualified people who weren't drunk handling the lines. So we just had to figure it out. We were nervous." I don't know. In hindsight, I'm wondering if they're like, "Did you have to say that to the news reporter? Huh? You have to say that it was only you?"
She definitely got called in someplace and had to explain.
Right.
That.
Oh, you want to tell them all of us were hammered except for you and three others?
Good, buddy fucker.
Yeah. Yeah, to handle the ropes you didn't know how to handle on this 140-foot boat. Thank you, Carrillo. But anyways, I thought this was a really cool story, and I'm happy for these
kids.
Yeah, it's cool. So
it's an unreal experience, and it's an experience that probably won't ever really ever happen again because it's such a unique time right now. So, credit to them for doing that.
Indeed.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you. What do we got?
Shout out to our guy, friend of the program, Army football player, Ollie Villanueva, Monday Night Football this past week. All the players in the Steelers were wearing the name of someone, and he decided to wear the name of Alwin Cash, who we've now learned his story, as we talked about that a few weeks ago, and the heroics he displayed when he pulled his fellow soldiers out of a burning vehicle. So shout to Ollie for wearing that name. And then I don't know if you guys have ever read the book Tribe by Sebastian Younger. Have you guys read that?
No.
Anyway, so one of the things in the book, Sebastian Younger talks about when people leave the military, they kind of lose sight of who their tribe is, because the military is kind of your tribe and the people that you associate with and you're around all the time and you feel you're part of something. And that's something that is very hard to find when you leave the military. And I've said before in the show, I've found that in some regards, in a lot of ways, at Barstool Sports. So whenever somebody else at Barstool does something really well, I like to give them credit. Frankie, over on the Foreplay podcast, with the work of E-Bug and some of the other producers at Barstool, they put together this 25-minute documentary called Behind the Greens about the work the grounds crew does to get the U.S. Open the course ready for the U.S. Open that's happening this weekend. And it was phenomenal. So it's very interesting. So if you're into golf, even if you're not into golf, I would recommend watching Behind the Greens. The guys did an excellent job with that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm not into golf, and it was pretty interesting watch, actually. It's pretty cool to see the work they do. If you think you have to get up super early to PT, you should be on a golf grounds crew. My goodness, there.
Yeah, you think you have it rough. Just wait until
you're in the rough, am I right? At a
municipal golf course. Kyle, what about you?
Don't have too much. Not much that we have to get ahead of on the actually crowd, so that's good. I will say we didn't just shoot dogs for sport in Afghanistan. That wasn't what we were doing.
Glad we're circling back on that.
I do not want to get canceled by dog Twitter or whatever. So, but you know, we had military working dogs with us. So anytime they got close, you had to shoot them. Anyways, that's all I got. Yeah. Don't cancel me for that shit, because I don't care.
For my save round, would like to cancel Kyle for murdering dogs.
Let's cancel Cons for that bullshit sweatpants take. You, sir.
Hey, man, give a shit about your life. You, have some pride in your appearance.
You, sir, went way too far
with
that one.
About that.
Look at you. People probably throw chains at you on the streets.
Kate, what do you got?
What do I got? I don't think I really have much of anything. In fact, I'm going to give up my spot to Big Time Tommy. He's got some really good OPSEC, PFC Big Time Tommy, so I'm going to let him speak for me today.
All right, here's Big Time Tommy.
How you doing, Instagram? It's Big Time Tommy. And here's my thought of the day. Be careful who you tell secrets to. Because one day, they will use it, and it'll come back and bite you in the ass. Let's make America old school again. OS for life. Take it easy.
I love Big Time Tommy.
For me, I would say that we need to clean up social media. Not us in particular, but the United States government. Earlier this week, President Trump shared a video of The military, giving credit for the military, and there was two Russian jets that were flying in the sky. And then just yesterday, Khan's beloved U.S. Army official.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Put out a video thanking the soldiers for what they're doing, and they used a British soldier.
Right.
I mean, my goodness. We might have just had a fucking red coat. Hire somebody who can distinguish what a military uniform from the United States looks like. Like, you have thousands upon thousands of pictures that you could have chose from, and you chose from one that wasn't it. We do that and fuck with people about Bradleys and tanks. I don't think they're doing it on purpose.
No,
and
they legit
are,
thought.
It's brilliant.
And yeah, they used a Marine helicopter. Like, the main one was a CH-53. Fucking amateur hour.
We got nothing in the Army that looks like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Ridiculous. That's
I don't know the difference. I'm cool
with it. I don't either.
You weren't actually in the Marines anyway, so it doesn't matter.
What did they say?
I said Katie actually wasn't in the Marines. Katie stolen valor.
Stolen valor.
All right. What's the vulva ditty again, Kate?
The whole pussy.
There you go. All right. That's it for the show. We'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Sound the retreat.